Adam Dale is our man to talk cricket today. Two tests for the Aussies, and I'm sure that would make him giggle at what's going on over there in England at the moment. G'day, Adam.
Hello, Harf. Good to talk to a fellow Paradian.
Yes, the mighty Paradians. Two going well in the MOs, two at the moment. Going well in the MOs under the great Dave Bandy there at the Garvey Oval. Now, what would you make of all that just before we get into the serious stuff? Not drinking with the Poms after the game?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Back in days gone by in the 60s and 70s, I think it was very much a tradition to do that. But then really, as teams became more professional and harder out of as such, there probably wasn't as much. And I think AB was on the telly the other day saying in 89, he told the lads, hey, we're not going to socialise with these guys. We're over here to win. And even Peter Siddle mentioned that, you know, after the first test, that really doesn't happen. So I'm probably in that corner. There's probably times and places, and maybe that wasn't the situation to do that. It was interesting that Anderson came out and made mention that that's what should have happened. Well, he's probably been... he hasn't gone down that way in the past. So good discussion, good banter before the test match, and it'll create a bit of fight.
Yeah, I'm all for it. What'd you make just an assessment of the first test from your eyes, Adam?
The Aussies, we got outgunned. Before we knew it, we were being outplayed. And their stars, as in Anderson and Broad and Root, played beautifully and all achieved above their averages or played to standards, where the Aussies, we got outgunned. And then before we knew it, we just had too much ground to catch up on, and to be knocked over in 4 days is not the start they needed.
We heard Michael Clarke say after the test that it was the kick up the pants they needed. And from a selection point of view, there seems to be a bit of movement as well. We're led to believe that Shane Watson might be on the outer. Hasn't been confirmed yet, but might be on the outer for Mitchell Marsh. Is that the right call? If you were having the magnet board in front of you in footy terms, would you be playing Mitchell Marsh or Shane Watson?
If we were going to win the test match and everything was on it, I'd probably go with Watson, because he's proven at times he can win games for us. If we're looking for a new start and a fresh set of legs, you go for Marsh. So I'm probably sitting on the fence there for your half, not giving you much. Interesting, look up on the net. Has he been in? Has he not been picked? They haven't confirmed that they won't do it until the toss. My gut feel is I'll stick with Watson. But interesting, Steve Waugh came out and said that he reckons I'll go for Marsh, and his brother's a selector. So I think it's really six of one, half dozen of the at the moment. We've just got to make more runs at the top of the order. Watson's coming in at that middle stage. And I think from a bowling point of view, half, we can't go at four fives and sixes and over. You know, Johnson... and the guys have got to make sure they're tighter with their lines, so we give our chances a better end with the ball.
What about the wicket-keeping position? Brad Haddin's withdrawn from the second test for personal reasons, so we don't know the extent of that, and it's probably not important that we do at this stage, but he's withdrawn, which gives Peter Neville a chance to debut for the Aussies at Lords. Good time to do it.
Oh, what a highlight of anyone's career to be at Lords. He would have been delighted to be in the 15, but he's actually going to be in the 11, and he'll achieve the boyhood dream of playing for Australia, and good on him. He's a Melbourne boy, Victorian, who had to go elsewhere to achieve his dreams. And to his credit, he's worked hard and done very well. And along the way, he's been very complimentary of those around him, and he certainly celebrated Brad Haddin's support. And it's going to be great to see the young kid walk on to Lords with a baggy green on. And, you know, good on him.
Is it a free hit, really, do you reckon?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's picked over there as the second wicketkeeper. If something happens with form or injury or whatever it might be, and unfortunately, as you mentioned, Brad Haddin's been, you know, confronted with a situation where he can't play. So we need to move from that and then ultimately give that next person in line a chance. And Nev's made runs.
Yeah.
He's been a great performer for New South Wales. He's led their team. He's deserved of his opportunity. So whatever that situation comes about and how it comes about, you've got to be ready. And I think he's going to play really well and do all of those that know him, but certainly the cricket fraternity proud.
Yeah, it's a great effort and great opportunity, as you say. I think he averaged more than 70 in Shield cricket last year for New South Wales.
He's a serious player, Harf. He can bat and he can hold his own. We'll probably play a little bit different to Hadge in regards to maybe not as attacking at times, but certainly from a technical point of view, he'll bring to that team good depth. And his glove works as strong as you've seen. So all of those that know him and are really confident he'll deliver in spades.
The Lord's pitch, they tell me, will be a little bit different to the Cardiff pitch, but not going to be exactly Perth. Does that make it harder for our bowlers?
It does. I mean, the Poms did... I thought they prepared their wicket beautifully. First test match, slow, low wicket, not giving the Aussies a chance to get any momentum. Lord's, if it's got a little bit in it early, we'll play well for the bowlers. But it'll be a good wicket. It'll bat. It'll be good for batting. But they've got the momentum. So it's going to, regardless of those conditions, they're in a good position to play well.
It's a big challenge for the Aussies. Of course, England will have their tails up. The highlights for them, clearly Joe Root's century in the first innings was a standout performance, although he was given an opportunity on zero runs, which is disappointing from the Australian point of view. But I thought they bowled really well. They stood up to the challenge, and Broad and Anderson at the top of the order for their bowling attack were really good with their lines. You talked about that before from the Australian point of view. Their lines and their attack at the batsman was really consistent, and I reckon went a long way to getting them that victory.
It did. The Duke ball swings around. Anderson bowls beautifully in those conditions. And he and Broad, they're in the top sort of 10 bowlers of England of all time. So we're dealing with some serious players. And whether you love them or don't like them, as individuals on or off the field, but they're good cricketers. And they took it to the Aussies. They were more patient. They intimidated when they needed to intimidate, but their line and lengths were very much on the money at all times. And we've got to take a leaf out of that book. We just can't try and blast the Poms out on those conditions. We're going to have to take it. And I thought Peter Siddle might have been a chance because he can bowl dry at one end and bowl dots.
Yep.
But it looks like Stark will come through and be fit. So the Aussies are going to have to play really well. So, but to your point, Anderson and Broad were the standouts, and they're the reason they took 20 wickets and won the game.
The Stark factor, and we learnt yesterday that he bowled off his full run-up in the practice for this Test match tomorrow night, which is good news. But he did play for the majority of that first Test with a pretty significant limp. How long can he survive doing that? If it's going to have to flare up again in the second Test, is that going to be good for him for the rest of the series? Or if there's any concern, do you not play him in this Test match?
If he's fit, and you imagine they've got a lot of people around them, they've got to have to make the right call. It's in the best interest of the team and ultimately for the young fella playing. So if he's ready to be playing and picked, he's got to be 100% fit. And he's not going to have to bowl well. He's going to have to bowl, but even though he got a 5-star, he's just going to have to be tighter with his lines and his lengths, and certainly his run rate can't be as high as it was. So if he's fit, he's up and about and go. That's why I think maybe Watson's still not out of the mix, because he's shown he can bowl, dry at one end as such, where Mitchell Marsh has probably gone for a few too many runs. So yeah. I think, but Stark, their attack's strong and good when it's all on strong, but we just can't be as loose as we were.
The left-hander factor for England, they've stacked their team full of left-handers. Do you think that dulls the effectiveness of Johnson and Stark to a degree?
Maybe it does. I think the wicket played a big part in that in Cardiff. But certainly Lyon's got to be better than he was. As a left-hander, as an off-spinner, you're taking the ball away from the bat, which should be perfect. Warney did that for years.
Yeah.
So we need Lyon to step up. And certainly at the Lord's wicket too, it does drop away a little bit. So if he gets to the right end, he can get a little bit of extra turn. Their batters did very well and played well. Their guys, they got a big hundreds, and then the other guys batted around them and outplayed the Aussies in all aspects.
Got a couple of calls. I want to have a chat to you, Adam, if you don't mind. Tony in East Malvern is first up this afternoon. G'day, Tone.
Hi, Art. How are you, mate?
Good, pal.
Well, I watched the first 2.5 days solid of that Test match, and I thought a couple of points I had was, one, the bowlers. I know everyone's talking about we had them 3 for 43, but of those 43 runs, I reckon 90% were absolute crap balls that we bowled to them. And we were bowling in swingers, starting on middle stump. And by the time it got to the batsman, it's out his legs. Now that's money for jam for any opener. Bang, straight down leg side, easy. Mm. So, we bowled some wicket balls, but we did not build pressure at all. And then Adam was talking about, poor old Lyon. If you actually go back to the first innings, he had, when Lyon was bowling, he had a long mid-on. Now, it's small ground, so he's not there to stop the single. If he had have had him on at a normal long-on position, which is on the boundary, and he's not going to get two runs if they hit it straight, he would have caught Root at about 60. There were two catches that went over that fieldsman's head.
It was one of the discussions we had yesterday, Tone, sorry to chip in, with Hoggy regards to some of the field placings, and Alistair Cook has been given huge plaudits, Adam, about his placing of the field throughout the entire Test match. And for some reason, Michael Clarke, particularly with Nathan Lyon, it seems over the last couple of years, doesn't fully support him with perhaps some of the opportunities he might be getting with different fields.
Yeah, good observation from the core of their half. And certainly Cook's been criticised by our cricket world in regards to being a bit too conservative and not really having much going on there. But he captained beautifully, and his field placings were very good. The way he got Smith, I think, in that first innings where he caught him himself, it's sort of a silly mid-on.
Yeah.
So, no, he was very creative. I don't disagree. We need to, Lyon needs to be in a situation where he's attacking. But we've just got to make sure that, you know, it's no good if Lyon's coming on if then, you know, none for 60 off, you know, 15 overs or, you know, off 12 overs. He's got to be in a position where he gets better support from his quicks. But good observations from the caller.
Tony, down the line, $100 voucher to Ribera's Restaurant coming your way. Sensational Seafood Sundays is a beauty. 480 Victoria Street, North Melbourne. Google Ribera's and the rest is easy. Sam's in Mill Park. G'day, Sam.
G'day, Half. How are you, boys?
Good, buddy.
I've put a bit of thought in it, being a cricketer in my sporting career. I've looked at the lineup, and Watson, you're right, he's sadly out of form, but when the guy has made runs, it's been as an opening bat. And I'd like to propose this. Bowling to two left-handers, it's money for jam for the pom fast bowlers. They don't have to readjust bowling to the old traditional left-right opening batsman that really can stuff up an opening bowler. So what I would suggest is if you're going to make some bold moves, putting Watson back to open with Davey Warner, putting Rogers to number three, getting rid of Voges, but bringing in Mitch Marsh, who can then be also an extra good bowler and an excellent middle order batsman that's been making heaps of runs in England since his tour started, but also that he also backs up the what-if factor. If Starkey goes down, at least you've got a Mitch Marsh and Watson to back up missing on Stark.
Sammy, so it's a good point. The left-right combination was always seen as a bit of a strength in a batting order, but teams have shied away from that, Adam, haven't they?
They have. I mean, that's a perfect mix, isn't it, if you can go into a side with that situation. But the two form players, Warner and Rogers have been our best. Rogers has been awesome in the last, you know, dozen tests as such. So he's a lock. And his form in England, we need to have him. And Warner's been so exciting. So the ideal, if one of those guys were right-handed, then we could have the perfect mix that the caller talks about. But certainly those two guys are our best two openers. And Watson's got to bat down the order. And if he's got that last chance in him, he's got to play well.
Elmore Allpack coming your way. Sammy, the bottles of Cocoa Hydrate too to every caller today that gets through and wins a prize, and the Tubatoki ham. So it's a plethora of giveaways here on Halftime. Hey, just a prediction for you, Adam, before we leave you. It's been great to have you on board this afternoon. A prediction for this Test match?
I think the Aussies will play very well, and I'm backing them to win. We've got a great record at Lord's. The lads do play well there. But it'll be a tough match, Half, and I think England's got some wind in their sails that none of us thought they would have. But I'm backing Australia to win.